I got so, I felt I was going to die. I'm not exaggerating. I felt I was going to die. Greetings of peace. How are you guys doing? You're ready for another exciting episode. My special guest, how are you, Dr. Joseph good. Grasso? How you
good,
been?
Good, Eddie. Good. How have you been?
I've been great. Thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, you're looking good.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're taking care of yourself.
I'm trying.
See that.
I'm trying. Yeah. It's very important. I want to start off with a story of a doctor. I want to, Dr. Brogan. I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Brogan.
No.
Dr. Brogan, why don't we do this? We're going to kind of get your feedback on what this doctor has to say. It's going to go into our topic where we're going to be discussing.
Sure.
So we'll watch it and we'll have a breakdown of it. How's that?
Sure.
But it's my belief that in this health climate, if you don't access your inner compass, and if you do exactly what your doctor tells you to do, there are very good odds that you're going to spend a lot of your life sick. And that's why we have to look behind the curtain. We have to look at the fact that Western medicine is killing us. And we have to start considering that despite the fact that our doctors are probably very well-intentioned people who put blood, sweat, and tears into their training, we have to start asking who is funding that training. Because some of us are speaking out about the fact that our training and medical education are bought. Unfortunately, in the balance between benefits and risks, it is an uncomfortable truth that most drugs do not work in most patients. So before I read this condemning quote in the British Medical Journal, I had already taken a very deep dive into ghostwritten, suppressed, and manipulated data that essentially undermined all of gold standard practice in psychiatry and obstetrics, my specialties. And even the Mayo Clinic begrudgingly agrees that 40% of practice should be discarded. But unfortunately, according to data, it takes 17 years for this science to trickle into your doctor's hands. So this is how modern medicine is not reflecting modern science. And by modern science, I mean concepts like the microbiome, like epigenetics, like toxicant exposure, and like biochemical individuality. We are still using a model that employs a one gene, one ill, one pill system of understanding. And the problem is that this model is totally ill-equipped to tell you as an individual how you will react with regard to efficacy and safety to a given pharmaceutical intervention.
Okay, this was a health educator, Jim Marlowe, had told me about this, Dr. Brogan. She's also a student of, I don't know if you've heard of the doctor, genius Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She studied with him for some time. She's one of the, a psychiatrist, psychologist. Psychiatrist is the one that can prescribe drugs, right?
Yeah, it's MD or DO.
Yeah. Yeah. And her story is that she used to prescribe a lot of drugs. And after some time, you know, she really like dwelled into the science behind it and she saw there was no science. And then she started to really get into nutrition. And she started, as she does now, she started to make that a model in her practice. Now get this. This is a psychiatrist, a medical doctor, who's getting people off drugs, telling us that most of these drugs, psychotic drugs, make people psychotic.
Sure, they do.
She's saying they're not effective. The 30% that are, it's more of a placebo effect. And they're causing far more harm than good. What is a layman like myself and many of us, many of the people out there, she's helping people get off depression, get off these drugs, and she's getting people into meditation, into nutrition, amongst other things. But the main thing is that she's trying to get them off drugs and have a lifestyle shift, a lifestyle change. And she's warning people about, you know, watching this once, this whole thing of there's a pill for every ill. You heard it. What do you have to say? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I totally agree wholeheartedly of everything that she's talking about. And, you know, in my practice, I very rarely prescribe medications. And I think that it all starts in medical school. Obviously, you know, we're all being taught pharmaceutical treatments and surgical treatments. So it's all symptomatic medicine. And, you know, when you approach a patient from a symptomatic standpoint, then, and you only have 5 or 10 minutes of an office visit spending with them, you're almost, you know, forced to prescribe them something because that's, you know, what they're looking for. And you know, one of the reasons osteopathic medicine came about was really to help wake up the medical profession in that, you know, we need to treat our patients from a place of health and that we need to find the cause of what's happening with the patient. In order to do that, number one, it takes time. You got to listen to the patient. You have to treat the patient first. And last time we spoke here, we did talk a little bit about that. And so you can't do that in a 5 or 10 minute office visit. And so if a physician like myself goes to medical school, and our medical school is just like the allopathic or MD schools, we're taught the same medical stuff. If that's all we're taught, and we go into our residency program and that's all we're taught, then that's all we're going to do. Most of these physicians that come out of medical school and residencies, 99.9% of them are relying on research articles and publications to tell them what the standard of care is. And unfortunately, predominantly, those research articles are stimulated by the drug companies. It's about, you know, a certain medication, drug, how's that going to have an effect on a certain condition. In my case, and in the what I call traditional osteopathic medicine, we're taught not only medicine, and there is a time and a place for medicine if you know how to use it appropriately, but we're also taught how to understand health and how to use our hands to treat our patients. But it's not manipulation. It's not some new age form of medicine. You have to develop certain perceptual skills, tactile senses with your hands, but also perceptual skills with your mind. And it's similar to meditating and sensing certain things that is happening in the body. And for example, since we're talking so much about drugs, if a person is taking steroids or narcotics or antibiotics or blood pressure medications you know, other types of pain medications, chemotherapy, for example, for cancers, it has an effect on the body physiologically. We know that. I mean, you look at the drug modules and you see all the side effects. You can read about them. There's lists and lists of them. But if you develop perceptual skills and you place your hands on the patient, you can actually feel what those drugs are doing to people. You can feel it on a physical, physiological sense, but you could also feel what's happening to their psyche.
How?
Is a certain, there are different parts to the human being. Most people are looking at the structure, the skin, the bones, the muscles, the ligaments, the organs. That's what we can see with our eyes. There are other functions that operate in your body and actually move through your body. There are functions that are fluid in nature that are actually invisible. It's not the life force that we're talking about, or the qi in Chinese medicine. There are electromagnetic forces that actually are in the body but also move through the skin. And if you get two patients, one taking drugs, the other one who doesn't take the drugs, and you put your hands on these people, and this is what we do when we have students coming in the office, we train them to feel the difference between the two and what the drug is actually doing to that person. So it will have an effect on the bio electrical system. Certain drugs will have an effect on the tissue or the physical system, and certain drugs will have an effect on the fluid part of the system. And so it's kind of a difficult thing for me to describe in words. It's much easier for me to, demonstrate this with a student.
Yeah, some things are more yeah. in demonstration. I understand what you're saying.
Sure. And you know, when I'm taking a patient off of medications, because very often I'm getting patients in my office who are on drugs, and many of them, and they want to come off them. And they go see their other physicians, and they say, you know, you have to be on these drugs for the rest of your life. And they don't accept that. And they come to me and say, no, you don't have to be on these drugs for the rest of your life, and here's how we're going to do it. I have to look at these different systems, the fluid, the tissue, the potency, we call it, or the bioelectrical field, which helps me determine the level of health of the individual and when it's the right time to wean the patient off of the medication. Mm-hmm. How much I can wean them off, how long it's going to take me, and you know, how the patient's going to tolerate that. And because I went to medical school, I have the responsibility to deal with these drugs. Yeah. I understand what they are. I'm not going to send someone to a non-medical individual to take someone off medicine. They can't do it. They don't have the licensure.
Yeah,
I have the licensure for that, and I'm comfortable dealing with all kinds of drugs.
What's the success rate? If you, from 100 people, you know, 1,000, over the years, 60, 70, 80% for these people that have come in and they want to get off drugs, what's the success rate usually?
Well,
how many of them are you able to do?
In a simple situation, if someone's on one drug, 100%, no problem. You got a patient who's really sick. Let's say they're in kidney failure or they have chronic liver disease or, you know, their blood pressure is sky high and, you know, they're not wanting to manage it properly, which means there's only so much I can do. If they're not following good nutrition, if they're not addressing other issues that can cause disease, like you talk with Dr. Garcia and metals in the mouth, there's so many factors, stress in their life. Are they willing to make those changes?
They have to be responsible also for their
own health. I make every single patient in my practice responsible for their own health.
Yeah.
But I work with them.
But that's the problem. Most people, they want the magic pill.
Of course.
And think everything's, you know, just going to be okay if I take this. Sure. And now they see there's a lot of work that has to go on my head. Yeah.
That's the only way it's going to work.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no free lunches, as one of my professors used to say. You have to work for, and you have to earn it.
Try coming and getting your black belt. There's no magic sauce. You got to put in the blood, sweat, and tear. We're going to take a break.
Sure.
Dr. Joseph Grasso here on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah. How you guys doing?
Don't be scared.
I'm ready. Are you guys ready? I'm ready.
We're going to start.
There might be some muscle tension in that area.
Hey, Gemma, you are giving up bad blood of your body.
That your body does not want.
Back here on The Dean Show with Dr. Joseph Grasso. Now, you've been practicing for, is it almost over 30 years?
About 27 years.
27 years. You have a lot of experience. What is it? I mean, you go to, I asked this question to a neurologist and an oncologist, the family member diagnosed with cancer. You want to know what's causing this. What is the root cause? They kind of look at you like you're, you know, from another planet. It's like, okay, if we can address the root cause, my common sense is telling me, and other experts also, holistic minded doctors are also looking for the root cause, but on this other side, I'm asking, and they look at you like, you know, you're just kind of weird. So why do you have this dilemma here? You have this paradigm total shift here from one end to the other. That's my next question, is like, what when we talk to someone like yourself, someone who's more open-minded, open to exploring, and you're not just stuck by one model, you're not just blindfolded just to and chained up, as many I feel doctors are. They don't want to look at anything else. What they've been told to believe, that's it. It's kind of like it's kind of like their own religion in a sense.
Sure.
Why is this, and what is, well, when we say holistic, Eddie, what does that mean?
Well, first of all, Eddie, physicians don't have the tools to find the cause, and what I mean by that is they rely 100% on science. Okay, scientific studies. That what do? They are studying disease, and disease is made to look like the enemy. And disease is not always the enemy. Disease is actually a very alive, functional process. And many times it's there to help the patient wake up and to help them really relook at their lives and make some changes. Okay. So going back to they don't have the tools. In order to find the cause, you have to synchronize with something else in the individual. And you have to spend time treating that individual one office visit after the next. This is why osteopathic medicine in its most traditional sense, and I think you know, indigenous cultures of the world practice like this as well, because they understand nature. And so if you get a virus, for example, there's no drug that kills a virus. They haven't figured that out yet. They have drugs that can stop the replication of a virus. They can slow it down, but they don't have anything that can kill it. And the things with viruses is they're so smart that they can mutate and change. But your body has everything it needs to kill and heal anything. Dr. Andrew Taylor Still, who is the founder of osteopathic medicine, he gave it its name. First of all, he said osteopathy is as old as the heavens. It's been around since time began. But he also said that the body was God's drugstore. He was a very spiritual man. And what he meant by that is the object of the physician is to find health. Anyone can find disease. The system is so oriented on disease. How are they going to find the cause if they're trying to suppress symptoms? Sometimes the symptoms have to express themselves in order for the patient to move, to move on. And you have to help the patient to acknowledge that. So one way that we're trained, and I'm not saying it's as exclusive to osteopathic physicians. Anyone who has any sense of intuition or instinct can feel certain things, but to put them all together, they need to be adequately trained.
Yeah.
Okay, and that takes a long time. But what we're given in terms of the tools is to feel health. And the health, it, by definition, is something that is in you, it's in me, it's in every living thing on this planet that cannot die. It can never be affected by disease. It can never be abused. It can never be used. It can never be manipulated. It's always there. And the first thing that we're trained to do from a traditional osteopathic perspective, when we place our hands on the patient, even before that, first of all, we ask permission. Can we come in there and work with you? Second of all, we wait. It's like a meditation. It's like praying. You sit back, you wait a little while, and all of a sudden something opens up. It's a very spontaneous thing. And if you have the proper training, you can learn to do this fairly quickly from one treatment to the next. You have to get a patient to that space first before they can heal. And when you get to that space, the health rises. It just shows up. It's very difficult for me to put that into words. It's not some mystical thing. If anyone does any sense of meditation and they feel something just shift and open up, this is what I'm talking about. We call it a neutral. It's the first opening or doorway that has to happen in order for you to be clear and for the patient to be moved by something that cannot die. And that's totally linked with the divine.
Yeah.
Okay? And so when we get to that space, I'm going back to the tools that you need to find the cause and what holism is. When you get to that space, it creates this blueprint. And on that blueprint, it says, this is what we need to do with this patient for this day. And I'm telling you, most of the time, it has nothing to do with what they're complaining about. It's usually something else that's going on. It could be something simple. It could be something, you know, really old. Who knows? Okay, until you get there, you don't know. And from one treatment to the next, it changes.
Yes.
If you don't get to that space, you're never going to be able to find the cause. And today, we got all these chronic diseases. Let's take chronic Lyme's, for example. I see a lot of patients in my practice with chronic Lyme's. If you take a history of these patients, they've had a lot of problems in their lives. And then all of a sudden, they get Lyme's disease. They do the testing. They got 3 to 5 bands. And all of a sudden, you got Lyme's. That's why you have all these symptoms. Most of us could be exposed to Lyme's, but we never get it because our immune systems are in order. Okay? Everyone else, when they see something like this, they're going to hit them pretty hard with antibiotics. They're going to, and some patients get, you know, psychiatric sequelae, and they're going to be on antidepressants and have neurological problems. It's a pretty significant issue. And people are having problems with that, and some of these things need to be treated. However, you don't need to beat up the body and kill it even more, okay? And so when I see these patients coming in, they're taking all these antibiotics. I work very hard to get them off the antibiotics and find a better way.
What's your opinion? When you mentioned antibiotics, I know someone who he figured out that, okay, look, I go to the doctor. He only sees me 5 minutes. He gives me antibiotics. He's got a family member, is a medical doctor. He says, hey, I can skip the line. I put the antibiotics in my body. I feel better. I'll just make a phone call. I'll get the, you know, the signature, and I can avoid all this wait in line, and I get the antibiotics quicker out, and I just keep taking antibiotics. Bad idea.
That doesn't happen. Well, it's a very bad
idea. But for the basic person, he thinks, okay, I'm saving time, antibiotics. I'm going to heal. I'm good. I feel better.
If you're very healthy, I mean, you shouldn't get sick. You may have times where you're going to get sick, and if you do, it shouldn't last more than a day or two. If it lasts longer than that, there's something going on. And most people, they might get the sinusitis or the pharyngitis or their ear infections. They take the drug, but it comes back.
Usually, I thought it's like 14-day is or 7 to 14-day common sickness.
It depends on the condition. Yeah. 10 days for pharyngitis could be.
How about 14. Your average cold?
Well, if it's a virus, they're not going to prescribe it. But in the olden days, when I went through medical school, they were prescribing antibiotics for everything, whether they thought it was a virus or not.
Yeah.
These days, there is a little bit more consciousness about the fact of what antibiotics are doing. Yeah. So physicians will wait.
Why is it a bad idea, you said?
It's a bad idea because you're killing the – it's a double-edged sword. You might be killing the bad bacteria, but you're killing the good stuff too.
Oh.
And you're making the patient more susceptible to get further infections, and that's what happens, especially with kids. I mean, I got kids that, you know, some of their, you know, otitis media, you know, their eardrums popped, and mother sees pus and blood coming out of the ear, and they're all freaking out, okay? Well, what do you think they do when they put tubes in there? They break the eardrum, and everything's, you know, leaking out. It's actually a good thing. It's the body's way of trying to protect the individual. You don't need to give antibiotics for that in the context of what I'm doing. If you're another, quote, holistic physician who doesn't put the hands on the patient and all they're doing is giving them supplements, it's not as effective, okay? Because still, that's not holism. Of course, it's not antibiotics. And the supplements, the herbs, are much better than antibiotics. It's not going to hurt the patient.
Garlic?
All that stuff is great.
That falls in the line of natural.
But you're still treating symptoms.
Uh-huh.
And you may need to do that, and I do that as well. But the reason why the patient, even if they have a simple sore throat, I won't treat them over the phone, is I want to know why they got sick.
You're looking for the root cause.
I want the cause.
You want the root.
And I have to put my hands on the patient to figure that out.
But the tumors in the brain, I'm asking the neurologist, what's the root cause? He's like, it's just genetic. What do you say? It's genetic.
Well, the doctor here talked about epigenetics, which means that your genes can change. And the example that I give my patients, because it's pretty obvious, fish became amphibians because the environment caused stress on the fish. There wasn't as much water, so they had to learn to live on land. Well, your body can do the same thing. And I tell my patients, you don't have to rely or worry about your family's genetics. You have to think about making them better, so that your offspring gets stronger and stronger, and it carries itself on from one generation to the next. What I'm seeing, Eddie, in the last 27 years of my medical experience, even in the last 20 years, because of all the other toxicities that we're being exposed to, is a weakening of the gene pool. I'm seeing more and more sick people, chronically sick people, and more challenges of treating those people. We can find a way to get them healthy.
Yeah.
But again, you know, it's a combination of a lot of different things. And holistic medicine is not giving herbs instead of, pharmaceutical drugs. Holism is treating the whole person.
The whole, looking for
mind,
the
mind, body, and spirit.
Uh-huh.
Okay? From head to toe. You talk to Dr. Garcia, we got to look at the mouth. I do a dental history.
That sounds
on every
like the
patient.
Natural way. That sounds like, you know, what we call the sunnah.
It's common sense.
Yeah, common sense also. That just
it's common sense.
But over here.
But you need time to do it.
But they don't do that over here.
Nobody, no one does it. I feel bad for physicians. I'm giving some physicians credit, okay, because I trained in the system. It's a lot of these people have good hearts, okay, but they're subject to a system that forces them. They're in fear of practicing the standard of care. So someone comes in with a sore throat, they got to give you an antibiotic. okay? If they have high blood pressure, they have to give you a medicine. Now, if a patient comes into my office repeatedly with a blood pressure of 200 over 100, I'm going to put them on something. I'll try something alternative, but if it's not working, this is why I went to medical school. I will prescribe something. I will do the least as possible. And I talk to the patient. I look them in the eye, and I say, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. And this is, and we're going to get you off of this. But this is what you're going to have to do to get off this medicine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not fond of medications, but I'm not going to let a patient walk out my office and have a stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's even worse. Okay? So I've seen medicine save people's lives, and it works best in an emergent situation. As far as healing, it's horrific.
You mentioned, don't lose your point there, it's horrific. You said Dr. Brogan, and this is, she says her colleagues who are also, conventional doctors, they can't give her a hard time because they don't know, most of them, they don't know the science. Before she became more holistic, and it's very rare to find a holistic psychiatrist. I think very few. And she's one of them. She says that we don't get told that most of the studies are not independent studies. And she talks about how there'll be like, let's say 99 studies that will fail. And then the pharmaceutical company, there'll be one that's like almost kind of, and they'll use that one. So what kind of science is that? That's like bought, bogus, just junk science. What kind of science is
it? You mentioned finding whatever proof they can to justify, you know, a treatment regimen.
And she said that's bought because the industry, it's been bought.
It's like immunizations, Eddie. It's a very classic issue because what's herd immunity? Herd immunity is if we immunize 100 people, they're all going to be immunized. They're going to be resistant to whatever we say, the measles. None of those people are supposed to get the measles if we immunized all of them. Well, we're lucky if we get 19 to 20% that are protected. Okay? This whole thing that happened in Disneyland in California, half of those people weren't even immunized. We're immunized, mm-hmm. and they still got the measles.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the only way you get herd immunity is if you actually get the measles.
Mm-hmm.
Then you'll never get it again.
They did, they was doing some, I was watching something where they were showing like the Brady Bunch, and you remember the Brady Bunch?
Sure, of course. They were showing
episodes where it really wasn't a big deal.
No, are you sure it's the measles?
Well, he certainly got all the symptoms. A slight temperature, a lot of dots, and a great big smile.
A great big smile?
No school for a few days.
Oh. Did you call the doctor?
Well, I've been trying to, honey, but the line's been busy.
Well, say hello to my dotted son for me. Tell him I'll bring him some comic books and I'll see you later, dear.
Okay, honey, bye. Jan! You've got measles.
Golly, mothers are supposed to know everything. But do you have to keep proving it?
Well, you've got a temperature, too.
What do you mean, too?
Well, Peter was sent home from school a little while ago.
Oh, what was his temperature?
101.1.
Oh, is that all? I'm 101.2.
And you get right into bed. Dr. Porter's on the way over.
Can I tell Peter he's a point behind me?
I'm sure he'd appreciate your sympathy. Now, into bed, Jan.
We've got the measles. All four of us. Boy, this is the life, isn't it?
Yeah. If you have to get sick, you sure can't beat the measles.
That's right.
No medicine.
Inside or out. Like shots, I mean.
Don't even mention shots. Yuck!
Jan had chicken pox, and Marcia and Cindy had mumps. There. Well, whichever doctor we choose, at least we'll have all the information on all the kids.
How long have you had that red spot on your cheek?
What red spot?
Dr. Porter? The one on your chin.
Oh, no. Don't tell me he's got the measles.
Of course, we can't be sure until he's had an examination.
Well, we're practicing together now. Which one of us do you want?
Well, I think in order to prove a point to the boys that
I... Ah, never mind. Dr. Cameron, he's all yours.
Oh, he's got the measles. And they're not like panicking and fear. You know, they're just, they call the doctor. He's like, no big deal. It's like they went through it. And then your immune system, it comes strengthened from this, doesn't it? It wasn't like a life or death.
Well, of course
situation.
It does. I mean, there are conditions. I'm not going to lie to you. There are childhood conditions that can, make kids really sick. Mumps can cause orchitis, inflammation of the testicle, and can render a child, infertile. So, but these are extreme rare.
But it seems like they capitalize off of this.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
Of course they do. And this is why I practice the way I do, because if I got a child that comes into my office, hasn't been vaccinated, and I have quite a few, these the parents, that's what they choose to do, and they have measles, I put my hands on them, Eddie. I treat them. And another holistic physician, even if they don't use their hands, there are other things you can treat a virus with. Like you said, garlic, for example, oil of oregano. There's a lot of different things, digestive enzymes, you know, for pain and inflammation. There are so many different things that you can utilize. But like I said, you know, the reason I went the route that I did was because I wanted to be able to utilize everything possible. I didn't want to have any limitations at all. And the best way you're going to get a firm diagnosis is to put your hands on the patient and sense health, something in that patient that cannot die. It's totally linked to something bigger. That's the only way you can do it.
Like what you're saying before, that the person that originated with this, there was a connection with the ultimate reality, the creator, the divine. There was some connection there. And this is this goes above and beyond, you know, empirical, just observation, what we see and feel. That's one way, science, but some things that you just have to be holistic, like you're saying. You have to not just be limited.
Sure.
And then over here, being especially limited to junk science is one thing when it's real independent studies, and over here where it's funded by the people, the
sure.
drug pushers. Mike, almost out of time. Why is there a drugstore on every corner? I'm trying to figure this one.
You know the answer to that question.
I'm
not even going to waste my breath on that one.
We have more people on drugs, but you sure. mentioned earlier when we were talking, there's just more sick people coming in. But then when Dr. Weston Price, you've heard of Dr.
Sure.
Weston Price?
Yes, I have.
When he went and visited many of these indigenous communities and these people, this brilliant doctor, he was a dentist, right? And then he just started studying their lifestyle, how they were eating, and what, you know, they weren't exposed to all the toxins and the food and all
the pharmaceutical drugs provided to them
yeah.
in their environment. And I tell my patients this, I said, before they had planes, trains, and automobiles, where is your genetic makeup from? If you're Northern European descent, think about what they had available to them. High protein, high fat diet. Myself, I'm mostly Sicilian, you know, Mediterranean type diet, low fat, lots of fish. Actually, I do very well on that type of a diet. So there's a lot of credence, and I tell people the proof is in the pudding. We can tell you whatever we want. And I want the listeners to understand that, you know, I'm talking about putting your hands on patients and that there, even if you don't put your hands on the patient, if you have some sense of faith and trust that patient's going to get well, that's just as powerful to help your patients. And as a psychologist or psychiatrist, she's giving her patients the power to take their power back and take a hold of their health and find another way to do it. A lot of patients, it's like they're not given the permission. They're told that they can't do it. They have to be on these things for the rest of their lives. And they're talking to a very well-educated physician. So they believe them.
That blocks the healing, doesn't it?
It blocks it.
I've read studies where
it blocks it tremendously.
The power of the mind, where if you really truly believe, this actually helps with the healing.
Sure. Sure. And if you have an open heart and you really have compassion for people and you truly want to help them the right way,
yeah,
not just to suspend their symptoms, okay? There's so much more you can do for people. You can truly help them heal.
We've got a few more minutes. Flu shots. Winter's going to be coming around.
I mean,
everywhere and anywhere, flu shots. I mean, you go to Sam's Club, they got flu shots.
I don't endorse it.
Why?
I read an article on a Navy ship
uh-huh.
that all these servicemen had the flu shot. And 80% of the people on the boat got the flu.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So that tells you how efficacious it is. And there are studies that show it might work about 15% to 19% of the time.
Uh-huh.
So.
How about, there's a shot, I don't know if you've heard of the Hajj. It's one of the fifth pillars of Islam where you go to Mecca first. This is where Muslims go to, and there's a shot that's recommended. I had to take it, okay? It's the meningitis shot.
Sure.
I don't know if you know much about it.
Yeah,
I've never been more. Okay, I take the menace. It's one of the requirements to go to Hajj. So I go, take the shot. I never.
You can't be exempted from it? Because, I mean, there are laws in the state here.
Yeah, but let me tell you what happened now. You know how you remember certain significant things in your life?
Sure.
That's supposed to prevent you from meningitis or getting sick. I'd never been so sick in my life. I got so sick. I felt I was going to die. I'm not exaggerating. I felt I was going to die when I got...
Eddie, I'll tell you
what
a true story.
What do you know about this?
They're all the same. Yeah. You know, the last time I took got one of those shots, I was a senior in medical school, and I was working with a physician, and he convinced me somehow. I just didn't know any better.
Yeah.
He gave me the flu shot. It's the last time I got seriously ill. And what I'm saying, for me, I mean, if I get sick, I'm done with it in a day.
Yeah.
Maybe two. Okay. I'm feeling fine. I'm still working. I don't take any time out of work when I'm sick. I still feel okay. But I was coughing up blood. I felt like I had a full-blown pneumonia.
From that. Yeah.
And it lasted for about a week. Uh-huh. And that was very unusual for me.
Man.
So I don't know what was going on in my head at the time, but I did. You know, I did that. But I just don't do it.
Yeah. And
So
there are, you mentioned some exceptions. That
tremendous. I've seen a lot of vaccine-related side effects.
No, you said exempt, so you can get out of taking
these? I have a lot of patients that have to sign religious exemptions.
Okay.
They have to explain why, and a lot of the patients, because in a lot of these vaccines, they use human DNA.
Yeah.
And so they write that, you know, that they're against all of that stuff. And
so I think one last thing I want to finish off with, no matter what you do, you decide to put these toxins in your body, whatever the case, I think this makes sense to me. That it's this is a thing that many doctors have gone away from. What is it called? It's called informed consent. That you're informing the patient of all of the potential harms that can come. Not trying to sugarcoat and say, oh, there's no problems. But if you look at the insert, you see all of the side effects. Informed consent. Yeah. How important is that? Let's finish with that.
Well, patients need to know what they're getting.
Yeah.
I mean, when we have a surgery, you have to sign all these forms of all the potential dangers. What can happen? It's the same thing with drugs, but physicians don't tell their patients. Sometimes the pharmacists will tell the patient. They're actually a lot more informative. Mm-hmm. Going back to the vaccines, I have some colleagues out in California, because when this whole thing happened with the measles, they mandated vaccines in California. And there's a network called Physicians for Informed Consent. And they started this whole huge coalition with scientific data to fight this law, and they're actually changing it because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you do, is that right? Get informed. Get educated.
You need to get informed. You need to know what you're taking.
Yeah.
You need to know the potential side effects. If I prescribe a medicine, I look it up and I show the patient. I said, this is the one that I think is the least. And what I'm saying, if I prescribe something, most of the stuff that I'm going to prescribe is probably blood pressure medicine, mm-hmm. because some people they're not controlled. Mm-hmm. And that's rare. When I'm saying when I prescribe it, it could be four or five times a year. Mm-hmm. Forget antibiotics. I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. So, but yes, be informed and choose your physicians well.
Thank you so much for being with us again, Dr. Thanks, Joseph Grasso. So if people want to come visit you, say hello, read your book, you have anything, any way people can get a hold of you?
I don't have a book. I don't even have a website. But you talk to my wife, Dr. Garcia. There's a little bit about me on the website. Just Google my name. You'll find some info.
Thank you. God bless you. Thank you
God
so much.
God bless you, too.
Bye. And thank you guys for tuning in to The Dean Show. Informed consent. Get educated before you put something toxic in your body. Really get informed. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.